Hey, it's from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, a show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your other co-host, John Trumbull.
How's it going, John?
I'm doing okay. How's this week been for you?
It's been good. It's been swinging and sweet.
Yep.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, it is now.
Thank you. Yeah, it is.
It is now.
It is.
Swinging and sweet. That's what all the kids are going to be saying. Swinging and sweet.
Swinging and sweet.
Like Darren Patterson. Like Darren Credible.
Zingaroo.
Yeah.
All right. So, guys, SNL, they're off this week.
Mm-hmm.
No SNL. No new one until the 30th. So, John and I decided to do another one of those episodes, like a collection episode.
A big theme show.
A theme show. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
That's the ticket. And, so we decided to do this theme, comedians who have hosted Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we were doing our research for this, we were trying to find, we usually try to find, like, you know, lists, because, sites like BuzzFeed and, you know, Rolling Stone.
Well, I mean, last week we did the theme of our favorite musical performances.
Yes.
And so, like, a big thing to do, right, when we start our research, we do a little Google, and we see what other people have been saying.
Yeah.
Make sure there's nothing huge that we're missing.
Right.
And there are easily like a dozen lists out there. All-time best musical performances on SNL.
Right.
And so we did that with the comedian things, and we were saying before we started recording today.
Right.
There aren't really any lists for best comedians who've hosted SNL.
There is no list. Like, I typed in comedians, and I was going to type in on Google, comedians right, who've hosted SNL. I typed in comedian who, and autofill came up, said, who have killed themselves? I was like, no, I don't want that.
Wow,
Google,
you went dark, autofill.
Yeah, Google went dark.
What's going on with that, Google?
Yeah, BuzzFeed hasn't done a, you know, comedians who post on SNL, Rolling Stone, Spin Magazine. What?
No, Vulture.
Like, Vulture, you know, AV Club, nothing.
Nope,
just no love for comedy.
So we are in an uncharted territory here.
Yes, we are parting the waves.
We are left to our own devices, and this
right,
is the seminal list,
yes,
of comedians who have hosted SNL.
We are the Lewis and Clark of this thing.
That's right. We are trailblazers, ladies
right,
and gentlemen.
Are we heroes? Some would say yes.
Some would say. It's not for us to say.
Yes, but if you want to say,
yeah,
we're trailblazing heroes who are, you know, paving the way for future generations.
If you want to use the hashtag trailblazing heroes when you retweet this episode,
yes,
we will not stop you.
We won't.
Because we're too busy being trailblazing heroes.
Yes. We're yes, thank you. Exactly.
And but we don't do this for the accolades.
No.
I mean, we like it in the accolades.
Yes. We do it for the love of the game.
And the accolades.
And the accolades.
Yeah.
Yeah. So but, give us accolades.
That's
and
right.
And the love of the game. Yeah. So, yeah, let's dive into this.
So we just made our own list. We just went with the
yeah,
old noggins, with the memories of the...
yes. Our thoughts and what have you.
Yes.
I mean, we could go just all the way back, because, I mean, the very first host of SNL was a comedian.
George Carlin.
Mr. George Carlin.
Started out with a comic hosting.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
Hippy-dippy weatherman.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't write down anything for him, but I just remember. It's like, oh, yeah, he was like the very first host.
Yeah. Honestly, the very first show, I don't believe he did much. I don't think he mixed in the sketches. He just did a couple stand-up segments, because they were still figuring out the format of the
right,
show.
Exactly. Like, is that back when they had, like, puppets on, or?
They had Jim Henson created a group of Muppets for the show.
Right.
Andy Kaufman did his Mighty Mouse bit.
Right.
There were a few different musicians on the show.
Wow.
And then you had the Not Ready for Primetime Players, and then George Carlin did a couple extended stand-up sets.
Right, yeah. I don't think, yeah, like you say, he wasn't in any of the sketches. He was
right,
just up there doing it.
And
Carlin being Carlin.
And then before long, they figured out, hey, maybe we should have a host in the sketches. And Richard Pryor hosted, I think, in that first year.
Richard Pryor. I was going to...
Because it was when Chevy Chase was still on the show, so
yeah, yeah,
the first year.
I was that was in 75.
That's a very famous show.
Yeah, with a very famous sketch where...
A job interview.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You could not do that today.
You could not.
That, I mean, I...
That was genuinely edgy material.
That was some edgy shit. That...
If you're not familiar with this, the N-word is dropped in
yes,
the sketch.
Yeah, basically, in the sketch, Chevy Chase is interviewing Richard Pryor for a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
They never say what the job is until the end.
Right.
But anyway, they say, oh, I'd like to do some word association with you. So if I say dog, you would say...
Cat.
Cat. No, I think Richard Pryor said tree. Said,
you're right.
I would say tree. Yeah, tree. Okay.
Okay.
Say dog, tree, you know, rich, poor... white, black, Negro, And then there's a long pause where Richard says, I'm sorry, what'd you say? Negro? Whitey. And then they go into other words like colored and something really...
See, I'm not going back and forth and doing this sketch with you.
You are really silent right now.
Can you blame me?
No, I don't. Actually.
I know where this sketch is going.
John's like, this is a trap.
You are summarizing this one.
Right. And so basically it goes on from Chevy Chase saying some derogatory terms for black people and Richard Pryor hitting back with some derogatory terms for white people until, you know, of course, honky is, you know, honk. I mean, that's not... That's,
it really calls up that, yeah, white people have a dearth of...
Yeah.
Decent slurs against us.
I know. We got to work on that, black people. We'll talk about that at the next meeting.
I mean, the worst sounding one you have is cracker.
Yeah.
And even that's not...
It's not... It doesn't sting.
Yeah. No.
So, yeah. So then, like, it escalates to the point where Chevy Chase says the N-word, hard R, and then, of course, Richard Pryor says, dead honky. And
yeah.
Then, of course... Chevy Chase feels threatened, and it's like, oh God.
Yeah.
All right, and then he just says, I'll give you the job. I'll give you whatever you want. Just don't hurt me. You'll
And he gives him, like, this huge, huge salary, and then the joke at the end is he was interviewing for a job as a janitor.
Yeah. It's like, you'll be the richest paid janitor.
Yeah, yeah, and he's making, like, 40 or 50K a year.
Exactly.
In, like, $1,975.
Yes, exactly. That's big money.
Yes.
You could buy as many platform shoes and Al Green 8-tracks as you want with that.
Sure.
Yeah. I would. So, so that's like the big sketch. So, but I mean, aside from that memorable sketch, is there any stand-up comedians episodes that come to your mind that have hosted?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I made a list of comedians who have hosted. Let's see.
Comedians in cars hosting SNL?
Yes, that's right. Well, you know, the guy behind that, Jerry Seinfeld, he's hosted SNL.
I was going to... Is that who you're going
to
talk about?
It wasn't who I was going to talk about, but you gave me a good transition to it. So
Okay. Well,
I thought I'd just at least mention that.
Okay. Well, I'm coming back to that.
Oh, okay.
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 Foreshadowing.
So we're putting a little pin in Jerry Seinfeld for right now.
We're going to pin in time.
Okay.
Put a pin.
Yeah. The first guy I've got on my list was somebody who hosted relatively recently, Dave Chappelle. He hosted October 12th, 2016. This was season 42, episode 6. This was the episode right after Trump was elected.
Right after.
And so
when the darkness fell,
it was kind of serendipitous for SNL to have somebody like Dave Chappelle hosting, who in his opening monologue, he can really talk about what's happening with the country.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty lucky for them to have somebody like Dave Chappelle in there.
I was really looking forward to this episode just because I think we talked about in the last show, Tribe Called Quest was the musical host and Tribe is one of my favorite groups.
Yes.
Dave Chappelle, one of my favorite comedians, I think.
Experience of sketch comedy as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Chappelle's show is phenomenal. I think Chappelle might be in my top five, if I really think. Maybe, definitely 10, maybe 5. But this episode.
Of stand-up comic hosts or just hosts?
No, comedians in general.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Like, you know, if I make a list, but that's for another time.
All right.
But I'm sorry, I cut you off.
Oh, no, it's okay. I mean, I rewatched his monologue, and it was, you know, it's very interesting to kind of look back at that moment in time. Yeah. And he had a couple good lines. He said, we elected an internet troll as president. And, more true than ever.
oh my God. It hasn't gotten better.
It has not. And he also said, white people haven't been this pissed off since the OJ verdict, which very observant.
Right.
I'd say very true.
Very true.
And at the end, it was interesting because at the end of the monologue, he says, we should give Trump a chance,
right?
To see what he can do. You know, maybe he can do some good in the job.
I mean, I understand why he said that. Just because
he was going into it. He's trying to be as optimistic and as open minded as possible.
He wants us to have some hope.
I found an article at one of Dave Chappelle's stand up dates. This was at least a year or two later. He says, "I was the first guy on TV to say give Trump a chance." He says, "I fucked up. I'm sorry."
Yeah.
So Dave Chappelle has walked those statements back.
Yeah, he's since then saying, I shouldn't have said that. But
one
sketch that I really liked, the very first sketch, where it was with him during election night and all the white people around him.
They're watching the election returns.
Yeah. And they're like, all right, well, it looks like Pennsylvania went red, but they don't count, right?
Right, right.
Like, it was around, like...
It's all these Hillary supporters, and they're just... It's the gradual realization that she is not going to win.
Right, and like Chappelle, like the only black guy in the room, is kind of not surprised by this, although yeah. everybody else is surprised.
At the end, when it's like definitely Trump, they're like, guys, I think America is kind of racist. Right. And
also, Chris Rock also
Chris
came
Rock
in.
Makes a surprise cameo.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Rock like comes out from the bathroom.
Yeah.
And they're like,
he's been in the bathroom this whole time?
Or he comes out of some other room in the house.
He comes through the front
house.
Door, I think.
Yeah. Okay, he shows up late to the party. But yeah, when they're like, guys, I think America is kind of racist. And Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle are just hilariously like, yeah. Oh, yeah, you think? You think?
Oh, yeah, I think my grandfather said something about that happening. Yeah. I mean, it's great commentary. I think his old writing partner, Neil Brennan, might have written that sketch.
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me if he brought Brennan in.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good sketch. But yeah, I mean, that whole episode, I thought had some really strong points, too. I really dug that. But yeah, good Chappelle, like one of the greats, and it was a great episode.
It was great. I'd like to see him come back to host again.
Yeah, well, I'll give him a call.
That would be fun.
I'll talk to him at the next meeting. So you mentioned Jerry Seinfeld, and I was
going to I did mention Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah.
You know what? This goes right into what I'm going to say. It's Jerry. I was going to talk about the time Jerry Seinfeld hosted in April of 92, and there's two sketches in there that I do still think about from time to time. He did this one sketch called Stand Up and Win. Do you remember this one?
No, I don't think so.
All right, so basically, he's a host of a game show called Stand Up and Win, but he's the host of the show, but he's also a stand-up comic, and all the contestants are stand-up comics.
I think I remember this. And they're all like doing like Seinfeld-esque voices.
Yeah, they all talk like Seinfeld. And
who are these people?
Exactly, yeah. And like so the game goes like it's like a Jeopardy-style game show where the questions are stuff like and what's with the deal with the black box? And then the contestants have to answer. Be like, I know. If that's the only thing that survives, why don't they just build the plane around the black box?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole sketch where it's just.
I remember that.
And then, like, that's when. Who was on that? Dana Carvey was on it, Rob Schneider, and Adam Sandler. And Adam Sandler, he always answers the questions with, who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
Yes, I remember
and
that.
And I don't know why I always think
who
about that.
Who are the ad wizards who came up with this one?
And then there was this one that really dates it where it says, have you seen this one for the clapper? I mean, have you seen it? And it's just like, oh, that's hilarious.
That was funny.
And of course, you know, what's the deal with airline food? And that's a whole sketch. It's like him asking questions.
Right, right.
And them coming up with the punchlines for it. And there's this other sketch that I really got a kick out of. I don't know why I still think of it, but you remember this one with Elijah the Prophet?
No, I don't think I remember this one. This is from the same show, the 92
show? Same
show
Jerry Seinfeld hosted.
Okay.
90. So basically, it's a Jewish family having a Seder on Passover. And they, you know, apparently in Jewish religion, I didn't know much about this, but apparently in Jewish religion, you leave a seat open for Elijah.
You set an extra plate for him.
Yeah, and you have to open the door for Elijah.
Right.
And so around the table, it's Mike Myers, he's the grandfather. Rob Schneider's a son, and Julia Sweeney and Kevin Nealon are the mother and father.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kevin Nealon goes to open a door, and it's Jerry Seinfeld dressed as Elijah. Has come, but he plays Elijah as like a very obnoxious house guest.
Oh, cute.
Like, it's like, oh, what is this, Manischewitz? Like, how do you drink this swill? And he's like, you know, he's just kind of, you know, insulting everybody. And at one point, he sees like the grandfather, and it's like, oh, you look down, let me let you in on something. September 24th, in your sleep.
Wow.
and then it was like, whoa. He just told the grandfather when he's going to die. And then he hits on the daughter. He's like, hey, baby, what's up? I'm Elijah the Prophet.
Wow.
It's like, oh, let me ask you my four questions. Are you a virgin? And she says, yes. He's like, well, that takes care of the other three questions then, am I right? It was really just out there. He was just like,
wow.
Just letting it ride and flip. And at one point they mentioned how I thought, like, you know, the Messiah was supposed to come in after you. And then, of course, Phil Hartman comes in dressed as the Messiah. And he's like, oh, Elijah, what's up? And they, you know, high-five each other. And they're like, hey, where's the party at? I don't know. Elijah the Prophet. If you can find it, I think it holds up.
That's funny. The Seinfeld sketch I really remember was, this was, he hosted again years later. This was after the Seinfeld TV show ended. And they did, and you remember how Seinfeld ended with all the main four getting thrown into prison.
Yes, yes. Yes.
And so they did, this was maybe about a year after Seinfeld ended. They did a thing where it was Jerry Seinfeld in Oz, the TV show, Oz.
Oh.
And it was Seinfeld doing his all you know, his Seinfeld things, like his obsession with little things, and then he's in the hardcore Prison of Oz. And I think they even had a few cast members from Oz cameo in this. This was like a film segment.
I don't remember that at all.
You don't? Oh, okay.
No.
It got kind of dark. you know, you see like Jerry flossing and...
Oh, Lord. All right.
There's like a prison riot going on behind him or something like
shanked?
That. But, I think probably, yes.
Oh, Lord.
But,
wow. All right.
Yeah.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, yeah.
Holy moly. All right, so what else do you have written down? What else you got there?
What else do I have? Well, I...
What else do you have?
We mentioned him briefly before. Chris Rock, who...
Yes.
Used to be a cast member, but he hit it really big as a stand-up after he left the show.
Yeah, because, like, after he left the show... Because, like, when...
He left the show, like, 93, and then, like, 95, 96, he did Bring the Pain, which was, like, his big... Right. Breakout stand-up special.
I think in between that he was on A Living Color for a little bit.
He was on A Living Color for like a hot minute.
Yeah, but for some reason he never, like, both like SNL and Living Color, he never really stood out. He never really broke through. But
I think by the time he got on Living Color, and Living Color was kind of on the downward slide, because it was after like the Wayans left,
The Wayans left. I think
it didn't have the cultural cachet that it did before.
Yeah, it kind of was fizzling out, and I think Jamie Foxx had just gotten there, but I think he had like one foot out the door. But it's like by around that time, Living Color kind of was past his prime. Jim Carrey definitely left by that point. But, so then Chris Rock left that, and then he just went back to his stand-up, and he came out with Bring the Pain. I remember reading somewhere where like he was doing a stand-up special, and I think he was talking to Andrew Dice Clay of all people, and Andrew Dice Clay was like saying, you got to treat it like Rocky, you know, you got to train, and like he had like a, said, watch Rocky, and you know, no, Andrew Dice Clay said, watch Rocky, and that'll remind you like why you love stand-up and will help you get motivated or pump you up to do the stand-up special. And he did, and sure enough, we got Bring the Pain, and like one of the most strongest stand-up specials, like probably of our lifetime.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, I mean, I remember that won a ton of Emmys. And he came back and hosted SNL in 1996, and then apparently didn't host again until 2014.
Yeah, which, that's the one when Prince was on.
Yeah. Which you talked a little about last week.
Yeah.
That's such a huge gap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 18 years, man.
What was he doing before during that time?
Well, you just think that SNL would have him back. I mean, he did some cameos and things like that, but...
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Wait, been doing Pootie Tang and whatnot?
I don't get that. I mean, especially for somebody who used to be a cast member, it just seems like...
That is weird.
He should come back more often, you know?
I'm assuming the door is always open, but maybe he just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, or maybe he just didn't have, projects he wanted to plug enough. Who knows why somebody hosts or somebody else doesn't host. But
it's like, no, I got to go do Grown Ups 2 or
I don't know, but...
The important
projects. I enjoy seeing him come back to the
good.
Show, and he had enough characters that, you know, it's fun to see him do, like, say, Nat X again.
Oh,
he's got a kick out of Nat X.
Yeah, I mean, I like Nat X, but it never really, like, blew up.
It never blew up in a big way, and, you know, conversely, they never drove it into the ground like they do with a lot of breakout characters.
That's very true.
I was always happy to see Nat X. I don't think I ever got sick of Nat X.
Yeah, no, Nat X was good. It was good. Yeah. All right. So what else do I have written down here? All right. Well, I mean, we could talk about this. You might want to get that problematic bell ready.
Hovering over it.
You know what I'm going to say? Do you feel like
There are a couple people you could say.
Oh, wow. There's more than one? I mean, the main one I'm thinking of.
I have a feeling because of the hesitation who you're going to say, but go ahead.
Louis C.K.?
There you go.
I think somebody tweeted us about how they were kind of feeling bummed out because, like the shows he was on and hosted were really strong shows.
They were solid shows.
And now, of course, he'll, you know, because he's done some horrific things.
He is unlikely to ever host again.
And he was one appearance short of the Five-Timers Club.
He did. He hosted four times. He hosted in 2012, 2014, 2015, and 2017.
Yeah.
So he was just short of the Five-Timers Club. And there are some sketches that he did that I still love. I rewatched a couple of his monologues from his shows.
Yeah, I mean,
and they were great. I mean,
he's
done heinous shit, but still a phenomenal stand-up. One of the all-time best. One of my personal
absolutely. I mean, I still
heroes, but
I mean that monologue he did with the child molester.
Yes,
I mean, he caught
I
a lot of heat.
That.
He caught a ton of heat for
he
that.
He did. You know, he was talking about There is no worse life for a child molester than when you're caught. So from the child molester's point of view, it must be amazing to make that that chance to make that risk. And
I mean,
and you know, you can't help but like, view that in a different light. You know, like, I read a couple of the YouTube comments after that monologue.
It's like, Louis C.K. is promoting child molestation.
Well, it wasn't that. It was just that's how
people perceive it
from this perspective. Louis C.K. must really love masturbating in front of women.
And, yeah. Wow. Oh, that bell is going to get a workout today.
Let's just take that as a blanket thing so we don't get too sidetracked into that whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it is a strong joke, and I understand like his logic, mm-hmm. but at the same time, it's like, you really can't. It's like,
But, I mean, it you know, the fact that he was even willing to go there at all because that's one of those topics that if you're talking about that on stage, it's like handling nitroglycerin.
Yeah.
You have to handle it just right. I mean, people are probably going to go nuts no matter what you do, but it just really reminds you, like, he was kind of fearless and he would go somewhere where most people would not. And he would do it really well.
He treads where most people would not tread.
And, you know, honestly, that's part of what makes what he's done since all that stuff came out about him all the more disappointing, because it's like he could come back and do a phenomenal set about that.
Yeah, I just wish he'd talk about it more. Like, that's a thing.
Yeah, well, it's like it's ignoring the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's made some overtures and addressed it sort of, but it's still in a not good way where he's like painting himself as the victim still, like, oh, I lost, you know, all those millions of dollars in an hour. And it's like, dude, it's not about you.
Yeah.
That's the fucking point.
I think that's the big... Oh, whoa, you're right?
Yeah.
His face got all red.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think the thing that most comedians are, you know, had the most issue with, just, I mean, of course, with what he did, but also with the fact that he's not really talking about it. Like, when Richard Pryor smoked crack and lit himself on fire, he talked about it on a schedule because you couldn't avoid it.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know, like, Lou just needs to, like, do something where he just talks about it in some type
also
of way.
Also, he was trying to come back really, really quickly. It wasn't even a year. He was coming back, like, I think those allegations came out in November of 2017, I think.
Oh.
And he confirmed it, and then he comes back, and he's doing, like, sets again in August. So it was like 8-9 months, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Seems really fast. I don't know what the proper waiting period would be, but
what's the protocol for something like this?
I have no idea, but you know, at least a year, and then address the damn issue.
You got it. Like, you just,
you know,
you gotta say something.
Yeah,
but,
and I, you know, and maybe he will still find a way back. And I'm not entirely certain, you know, if he should or if he deserves to or what. I mean, those are such huge,
pretty bad
issues.
Pretty gross.
You know, and it's a shame, you know, not just that he did that, but that his manager apparently made it very difficult for all the women he did that to.
Yeah, and then there's that.
And,
wow, yeah.
This, you know, so there are all those voices that we don't get to hear for, you know, their comedy careers. A lot of them, like, got out of comedy after that.
Yeah, it's, oh, yeah.
Which is just,
hey, let's talk about something else funnier.
But there's still, you know, part of the reason it bugs me is because he was a really strong host for the show.
Yeah.
He was a great show host.
He was.
They wouldn't have brought him back three more times if he wasn't a great host.
Absolutely. The Lincoln sketch.
I was just going to mention that. It was a parody of the Louis opening, and he's playing Abraham Lincoln.
As a stand-up comedian, and it's done in the style of the old Louis. Have you been able to find any of those sketches online? Or?
I didn't look that hard. I mean, I was able to find his monologues on YouTube, no problem.
Okay.
I don't think a lot of his sketches have been removed.
Oh, okay.
Because there's probably still a high curiosity factor, I would guess.
Right.
But, I love, like, he's just sitting at a bar, and then he's right next to, well, he was, like, sitting next to...
Keenan. Yes.
Keenan's like, he's... As Lincoln, he's kind of expecting praise.
Thanks for
freeing,
liberating us.
Thanks for getting rid of slavery.
Yeah,
and Keenan, and then later on, Jay Farrell, they're just not having it.
Yeah, like, oh, thanks, I'm free, but now I got no job and I'm uneducated.
Yeah,
what am I doing?
Keenan's
now?
Like, he'll be paying for this.
Yeah,
and then I love at the end, he like tries to cozy up to Jay Farrow, and Jay Farrow just goes, "Hey, nobody shot you yet."
Oh, Jesus!
Which hardcore?
Too soon, SNL. Too soon.
And yeah, and they even reconstructed the opening credits of Louis. They even to the point of having like the guy who like gives the finger.
Yeah, that was a nice little detail.
It was like right when they had the blackout. In the city, like they were shooting that, and a lot of the city was still blacked out.
Oh wow, that's right. I forgot about that blackout.
Yeah, it was after I think Hurricane Sandy.
I blacked
out
the blackout.
He did another sketch he did. I love was he was working in a Sprint store. It was called This Is How I Talk.
Yeah.
And he's like a guy. He's like, oh, I've been unemployed for a long time, and I really have to keep this job. I can't screw anything up. And his manager Leslie Jones comes over and. Leslie Jones is, she has very,
Go on.
Throw me a rope here.
I don't remember this sketch. I really don't. I'm sorry.
She has a very colloquial way of speaking. She's very ghetto, for lack of a
better term. Oh my God, hit that bell. There you go.
Okay. But.
Oh, you know what? I do remember the sketch now. Okay.
Oh, now you do. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks.
Ain't I a stinker?
That's for you. So basically Louis is imitating the way Leslie Jones talked, and he's like, "Oh, I don't know."
Yeah. What you talking about?
Yeah. And that sort of thing, and then she's behind him and she catches him. So he pretends that, "Oh no, this is just how I talk." and then the sketch, he keeps this up for 6 years.
It's the long con.
And, so that was a very funny sketch. Yeah, like he was very funny in it. Even Leslie Jones was all right in it.
Yeah. It was a good sketch. I don't know how this Louis C.K. thing is going to play out, but I don't know. We will keep you updated here.
And there was SNL Nerds. Do you remember the soda shop one?
The soda, I think so.
Where he's in like a 1950s ice cream parlor.
Yeah, I kind of remember.
And Cecily Strong comes in with her friends, and she's disappointed because she wasn't asked to the sock hop.
Okay.
And he's like, "Well, you know, if I was 20 years younger, I would take you. Heck, I'd even take you now at the age I am now." And then he's just making all these creepy overtures to Cecily Strong.
That sounds okay.
Again, this sketch is, maybe not aged the best in the year and a half since it was done. But
age like fine milk.
But it was... I still found it funny. It was a well-done sketch.
Yeah, you can be a terrible person and make great comedy.
Absolutely.
Sometimes, yeah.
Absolutely. We are living proof, right?
Yeah, whoa. don't put my business out there like that.
Mm.
I'm a phenomenal person. Mm. So what else have you got?
Who else have I got?
We went on a Louis tangent. That was great, though.
Well, there's a lot to say about him.
A lot of meat on that bone.
Well, there was somebody else. I don't know if this is somebody else who deserves a bell ring or not.
Go ahead.
Aziz Ansari. Should I ring the bell?
I don't.
I'll ring the bell just in
case.
Yeah,
just to cover. But I think he's okay. I think a lot of people saw what he did, and
Aziz, I can see making a comeback.
Yeah, I mean, he has. He's already like touring.
Yeah,
he's playing like theaters again and whatnot.
And I think he's
I think he's okay.
Addressed his stuff more.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was even an SNL sketch about this. The sketch that was called Dinner Conversation, which was people. They were out and they were all trying to tiptoe their way around the Aziz Ansari conversation because there was this woman who came out who had a date with him, and he was like very aggressive and pressuring her into sex, and she goes along with some of it, but she still felt very pressured and I guess violated. And
it was a whole thing.
I apologize if I'm phrasing this badly, but yeah, it's just still weird to talk about.
It is. We're still coming to grips with it.
Yeah.
It hurts
us. But Aziz, actually, he hosted, it was right after the Trump inauguration, like literally a day after. It was season 42, episode 12, January 21st, 2017, so literally a day after. And he had a few good lines in that monologue. He said, "Donald Trump is the Chris Brown of politics." And he was talking about how there were, like, all the racists that were feeling empowered now, like, we don't have to pretend we're not racist anymore. And he's like, no, you've got to go back to pretending. And Yeah, I mean, it was a really strong monologue.
Yeah, it was a good episode, too. I thought he
did a good job. I would like to see him get another chance at hosting. I don't know if that will happen.
I see him coming back before I do Louis.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
No doubt. Like, no doubt.
Like, maybe in a couple years, like in a year or two, like, you'll see us.
Yeah, certainly possible.
It'll be okay. Certainly possible. Yeah.
And I liked his show, Master and None, too. I thought that was a great show. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
Absolutely.
I want to see that show come back.
Yeah, is that... I guess it's in limbo at this point.
I think it was. I mean, I remember he said, like, I didn't want to do any more stuff about being a single guy in the city, because I feel like I've done a lot of that. So
yeah,
I think he was wanting to, like, reinvent the show a bit.
Right. Yeah, the second season was definitely a lot different than the first.
Yeah.
He was, like, in Italy now, and he was, like, studying to be a chef or something.
Mm-hmm,
I was,
mm-hmm.
And he was just eating all the time. I was like, what happened here? It was different.
It was different, but it was still good.
Yeah, absolutely. Good.
And, you know, I think he's a talented guy. I think he's a guy who has a lot to say. I'd like to
hear
more of what he has to say.
Absolutely. So. All right. Well, speaking of monologues, we'll go back to this one monologue from this one comedian.
Mm-hmm.
February 1994, a little comedian named Martin Lawrence.
Oh, God.
Remember that?
I've forgotten all about this.
There you go. Remember that?
I didn't even occur to me to put him on my list.
Oh,
wow, yeah.
For those who don't know, Martin Lawrence, he got himself banned from SNL due to his opening monologue. I mean, like most comics, they just do their set. He went into some very risque jokes, he had some bits in there in his jokes about female hygiene and genitalia.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you can't find this anywhere online.
No, because like it was so bad. He went, I guess he went off script. I mean,
he did.
I mean, he went like, I guess, Def Comedy Jam is the best way to...
Yes, very much so.
He went very blue.
Off the chain.
So much so that when they re-ran this episode, they just froze the image of him and ran scrolling text over about, he did this thing, it was awful, a lot of people lost their jobs over it.
Jesus.
Or came close to losing their jobs over it. And we can't show it to you because we would be buried in FCC fines.
I've never seen anything, I've never seen anybody like that happen to anybody ever.
Yeah, and actually we were texting about this earlier in the week.
Right.
When we were like kind of having a preliminary discussion, and I had a vague memory of when John Hamm hosted, one of the times that John Hamm hosted.
Oh, right, yes.
And he did like kind of a callback
to this. What was this on?
Didn't I send you a link?
You did.
Yeah. And he was talking about, and John Hamm was talking about who's appearing, and they cut to John Hamm, and he's doing some of the Martin Lawrence monologue word for word, and he's like, women need to wash their ass. and it's John Hamm doing it like more or less as Don Draper. And he's like smoking a cigarette. And it's kind of hilarious, but it has that extra level that if you know where that material is from, it's all the funnier.
Oh my God. Hamm.
But
wow, this was when he hosted?
This was one of the times when he hosted, yes.
Yeah, and, like that was inflammatory. Like the fact that he just got banned from saying, you know, women need to wash their ass.
And, yeah.
But I mean, I guess would that be considered tame by today's standards now, or is it still kind of?
I think you would probably still have trouble doing that on network television.
I mean, Louis C.K. did jokes about child molesting. I mean, I was like, I don't know. But you can't find footage of this anywhere. But
yeah.
I was trying to look for footage of Martin Lawrence. You know, the sketches he was doing, the sketches he was on that show. The only one I was able to find was he did a Stuart Smalley sketch where he was like, you know, just an angry black man. And, you know, Stuart was like,
a big stretch for him.
Yeah, you know. Well, and then Stuart was like, you're entitled to your anger. And that was like the only kind of thing I could find. But yeah, Martin Lawrence banned from SNL for.
Full life.
Full life. That was a doozy.
Should we talk about, there was another guy who was a stand-up who was a controversial guy. This isn't somebody I was planning to talk about, but when they announced he was hosting, one of the SNL cast members was like, nope, I'm out. And they sat out the show that week. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Hmm.
This was,
Emo Phillips.
No.
Gallagher.
No, it was not Emo Phillips.
I know what you're talking about. I have it written down.
Yeah, okay.
I'm playing coy.
All right, all right. Why don't you tell her?
So, all right, picture it. May 1990. A little comedian named Andrew Dice Clay was scheduled to host Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And this was at the height of, you know, Andrew Dice Clay's fame. Because I feel like people forgot. Andrew Dice Clay was huge.
He
like,
was.
Like, he was like Kevin Hart huge.
He was selling out like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he was the only, he was like the first comedian to do that.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like the way, like I said, Kevin Hart or Sebastian Maniscalco is big today.
Mm-hmm.
He was that big in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, of course, as big as he was also very controversial. He was, because he had this like sort of tough guy, misogynistic persona. And, you know, a lot of the women's groups and women did not like that. And so when SNL said they'd have him on and to host, Nora Dunn says, I'm not coming on.
Yeah.
Now, depending on who you hear, like, you can either... Some people said Nora Dunn did this in protest from him being on. But then mm-hmm. other people say that, like, maybe the fact that, she, like, her contract was up. This was, like, the second to last show of...
Mm-hmm.
The season, so like maybe she was like looking to like re-up or just mm-hmm. kind of leave on
it. Might have been a publicity
yeah thing, very much so
like or some sort of
yeah exactly.
thing to get a little more attention.
Yeah, like they interviewed John Lovitz about it, and John Lovitz mm-hmm. said that like Nora Dunn was kind of hard, a lot of the cast members found her hard to get along with.
Yeah,
and like the fact that she went to like people like, you know, like groups like Now to mm-hmm. say that she was not going to be there instead of going to Lauren about her issues. Like,
yeah, she didn't. Yeah, she went to the press first.
Yes,
from what I understand.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Like, so, and like John Love said, why would you go to the press first? Why don't you go to Lauren Michaels, talk to him about it, talk to
right.
us about it. Like the fact that they did that put them in a tough spot. So,
well, and also in particular puts all the other women in the cast
yes,
in a tough spot, because it makes like Jan Hooks and Victoria Jackson and Julie Sweeney, I think those were all the other women on the show at
yeah
the time.
Yeah, yeah,
it kind of makes them look bad, because then the natural question is like, well, why are you putting up with this when Nora Dunn yeah. isn't
exactly right? It makes them look like sellouts, so now they have to take a stand
yeah
or not,
you know. And who knows if they were planning to do that? Who knows what their feelings about that were? But
right.
it really puts them on the spot.
Yeah, it's
so.
Just like, I'm just trying to do a show here. I mean,
yeah.
maybe it's, I guess the same way, like when Trump hosted, people are like, well, are you going to do the show? Or
well, I think that's just part and parcel of being on SNL. I don't yeah. think it's realistic to expect that you're going to love every host.
Yeah.
And
we could do an episode about that Steven Seagal episode, but.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of that, or I haven't seen that in ages, but yeah, I mean, I think if, you know, you're a professional big-time comedian, you probably just had to
yeah.
put up with it and shut up.
Yeah,
you know, probably.
Very much so. You do the job. Yeah.
But, I mean, at the same time, I see where Nora Dunn was coming from, because he
right.
did have a lot of really rough, misogynistic stuff in his act.
Yeah, very much so. And so Nora Dunn didn't show up. And also, Sinead O'Connor was supposed to be on that show, and she
I'd forgotten that.
She refused to perform in solidarity with Nora Dunn, and I think
they had Sinead O'Connor back later,
and
it all worked out fine.
Yeah, nothing happened after that.
Right.
Woo.
They did. I remember when Dice Clay came on, they did do a funny thing where they did sort of an "It's a Wonderful Life" type of thing.
I was going to bring that up. That was
his monologue,
the cold open. Yeah.
Yeah. Where they were just talking about, like, oh, here's what would have happened if you hadn't hosted the show. And it was like, and like Nora Dunn got crushed by a stage
yes,
light.
Yes, that was
something.
A weird joke. I'm like, whoa. Like, I thought that was a bit. Yeah, so basically in the cold open, they had Andrew Dice Clay, like, you know, standing on a bridge, very much like It's a Wonderful Life,
mm-hmm.
saying, oh, my God, all these problems, all this, I'm causing all this controversy. Maybe I'm about to end it. I can't take it anymore. And then John Lovitz appears as his guardian devil instead of guardian angel.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows Andrew what his life would have been like if he'd never been born.
Uh-huh.
And then they show, you know, this is Studio 8H, this is Saturday Night Live. Because you were never born, they had to have Frank Zappa host an episode. And then they had like...
What a random choice.
It was very random.
Especially for 1990.
Yeah, it was. And then they had like what Dana Carvey dressed as Frank Zappa doing a Zappa uh-huh. impression. And of course, Zappa went on a 70-minute rant about anti-censorship. And
sure.
Because of that led to the cancellation of Saturday Night Live. And then they, like you said before, then they showed like a woman, like a stack of amplifiers,
uh-huh,
and a woman's, two women, a woman's legs,
right,
you know, crushed underneath.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Andrew says, "Who's that?" And the devil says, "Oh, that's Nora Dunn."
Yeah.
Because you weren't born, she was here and was crushed by Sinead O'Connor's amplifiers.
So you, like, saved her life.
Yeah, exactly.
In a weird way.
Exactly. And, like, I think, what was it? Andrew said, "Oh, it's too bad about Sinead. She was..." Oh, no, because Sinead O'Connor's amplifiers crushed her, and Sinead was so devastated, she never sang again. And then Andrew was like, "Oh, it's too bad. She was a cute, bald chick." And then, of course, they said, because you weren't born, all of your fans had their evenings free, so they were able to finish high school. and then, of course, and they said the movie Ford Fairlane was a gigantic hit and launched the career of John Lovitz. And Andrew was like, "Oh, you mean the liar guy?" And he's like, "Well, that's not the only role he played."
That's cute. I didn't remember that.
It was good.
That detail.
Yeah. And now there was a good sketch he was in. He was in a parody of Raging Bull.
I remember this.
Ridiculous Bull.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Where he played the Jake LaMotta character, and Lovitz was like the little brother.
The Joe Pesci role?
Yeah, the Joe Pesci role. And of course he's saying, "Oh, I want you to hit me in the face. Hit me harder. Oh, you didn't get me down."
Right.
And it's like, "All right, now I want you to take that plate and break it over my head. Harder. Oh, I'm still standing, Joey." And then of course it escalated to, "I want you to take that baseball bat and hit me on the head. I want you to take that sledgehammer, hit me on the head. I want you to take that microwave, hit me on the head." It's like, "What do you mean microwave? It's 1948. It's like, "Yeah, but we have a microwave, and I want you to take it and smash me over the head." And then he smashes like a bowling ball and a refrigerator over his head. And
a lot of things smashing over his head.
Yes, that's like the whole sketch. It's things smashing over his head. So, yeah, and that's it. Andrew Dice Clay hosted. And, Nora Dunn was just left the show, and it was a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
And, it was weird. The end. So yeah, and that's the Andrew Dice Clay segment of our show.
Yes.
So who else you got there? Who's your fave?
I didn't have, let's see, too many more. I think the only other person on my list that I haven't mentioned yet was Mr. John Mulaney.
Ooh.
Who we talked about recently because he just recently hosted the show. He hosted last season, hosted this season. I think he's a really solid host. I'd love to see him come back.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him be like a regular yearly host.
Absolutely. John Mulaney.
Because, when, you know, John Mulaney comes on, it's the show becomes very Mulaney-esque.
Yeah.
And, you can tell he takes a heavy hand in the writing. He, you know, he brings back sketches that didn't get on when he was a writer on the show. Yeah. And he brings them back to life. And
We talked about it in the last show. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks ago,
yeah,
with the Bodega Cat and the ejector sheet off the toilet where the old people die with dignity.
Yes.
John Mulaney, he's good stuff.
He's good stuff. I always enjoy him. I always enjoy, you know, seeing him do the monologue.
Yeah.
You know, the nice thing is when a stand-up host is they let him do a longer than normal monologue. Usually the monologue is maybe 5 minutes, and they usually let the stand-up scoop do like 7 to 10.
Right. And then give him the hand mic. I've seen a couple of stand-ups do it without a hand mic. So maybe
the two Louis C.K. monologues that I rewatched, he did not have a hand mic and it didn't seem weird.
Yeah. I was like,
he was very natural. He was just making like gestures and, very natural. He seemed very comfortable with the hand mic. I don't know if that was his norm of performing.
I think
without.
Yeah. I think when you don't have a mic, you just have to do stuff with your hand. Like I'm talking to the microphone right now. I'm speaking with my hands right now.
Yes.
Listeners can't see this, but I'm doing a lot.
But I can. I can vouch.
Yeah. I do a lot of hand gestures. I'm like Hasan Minhaj.
Mm-hmm.
But like you got to do something with your hands. So you just got to flipper your hands about and whatnot. Another, this one kind of hits home for me.
Okay.
But the time when Sinbad hosted, do you remember that?
I remember one sketch from when Sinbad hosted.
Which sketch is it?
The Superman funeral sketch where he comes on as Black Lightning.
Oh, shit. I don't remember that one.
Because that was in like 92. Because in 92, in the comic books, they killed off Superman.
Yeah.
As part of a storyline. And it
Hulk not good with words.
Yes. Hey. That's where that comes from. Chris Farley saying Hulk not good. And then he gives a great eulogy for the Man of Steel. That's a really interesting story because they did this in the comics and it was a big storyline, but it just happened to hit on a slow news day in the mainstream press. Like nobody was invading another country. Nobody
right.
was doing anything. So because this story happened to hit the mainstream press on a slow news day, it got a lot of coverage.
Yeah, yeah.
And so all these people on the street, like what comic fans call civilians a lot of the time when they're not, you know, they're not as versed in the comic book tropes.
The normies.
People thought that they were killing off Superman for real. And they didn't realize that this was like a common comic book thing where you kill off a character and then you bring them back again.
Yeah.
Everybody thought, oh, they're ending Superman for all these years since 1938. And so SNL did this sketch of Superman's funeral with all the various superheroes mourning him.
Right, right.
And Sinbad came on as Black Lightning.
Yeah.
Who is a real comic book character.
He is. I didn't hear of him until they did the CW show.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of obscure in 92.
Right.
I've actually interviewed the guy who created Black Lightning, Tony Isabella.
Okay.
And he consciously created Black Lightning so that there would be like more African-American representation in comics. He wanted like this guy to be in the DC pantheon with Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. He wanted Black Lightning to be that big.
Oh, wow.
And
wait, so was this before Luke Cage and Black Panther, or around the
it
same
was
time?
It was after Luke Cage, Black Panther. Black Lightning was first introduced in 1976, 77,
okay.
thereabouts. Because like part of his backstory was he was an Olympic decathlete from like the 72, 76 Olympics, I believe, and then he goes back to his old town, teaches in his old high school.
Right.
But they had Sinbad on there on the show. As like 70s Black Lightning, and it's a very 70s superhero outfit, like open to the navel,
right?
And he's got like this big fro, or they might have given Sinbad a Jerry curl, I don't remember, but you know, some sort of dated hairstyle
like Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction,
yeah. And he's like the guy who's trying to get into the club,
right?
But he doesn't have the cachet to get in because none of the other heroes have heard of him, and he's like, I'm Black Lightning, and. I think at the end of the sketch, he's like stealing stuff off the buffet table.
Yeah. All right. Now you said it. Now I remember it.
Yeah. It's a funny sketch.
Right.
It's
now, sketch. Well, the one I always remember, just because it has my namesake, is called The Proud Pattersons. I don't know if you remember that one.
I don't remember this at
I
all.
I remember
no.
it because like, it's like, oh, my name's Patterson. But yeah, so it's this sketch of, it's like a melodramatic sort of family sketch where Sinbad is the father of this family, but like, They get very overly dramatic and like, you know, like very black, over like mundane things.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, I can't find my car keys. I worked too long and hard for the white man. Now I can't find my keys.
Was this taking place like at some point in the past, or was it a
present day thing? It was like modern day. But like everybody in the family is just like overly dramatic over everything.
Gotcha.
Like Chris Rock was on it and it was like, we ain't a family no more. What's happening to us? We can't even find these keys. And like Tim Meadows was there, like the normal ones. Like, why are you guys acting like this? You get worked up over everything. What's going on with you guys? But I just liked it because it had my name, so it's more of a vanity thing.
Okay, sure, sure.
Yeah. So that's when Sinbad hosted. I didn't write down the year, but
I know it was 92 because that was the year they killed off Superman in the comics.
Nice.
So it was sometime in 92.
Okay.
And a neat little postscript to that is. The part of the reason that Sinbad played Black Lightning was because he was an actual fan of the character.
Really?
And I interviewed Tony Isabella last year, and he told me that he actually has a bit of a friendship with Sinbad now. Like he's gone to Sinbad's concert, Tony's trying to get scripts written for like future episodes of the Black Lightning show, and Sinbad wants to be on that show, even in like a cameo or something like that.
He can make that happen.
Which would be such a kick.
Yeah, he can totally make that happen.
But I think that's cool.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, so I'm looking up some other stuff we've gotten from our Twitter page of people.
Have we had new updates?
We put out the word for this one. There's somebody that mentioned that they like the... Oh, John Ananias.
Okay.
At Burtonesque 92. As far as comedians who posted, I love the Zach Galifianakis episode. Love to see him back.
Oh, yes. I think I replied to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Zach Galifianakis, he's hosted, I think, at least twice, and he's always done something really creative when he's been on. There was a sketch from him I rewatched recently. That's tough to say. where it was... It was Zach Galifianakis. He's the first time his character has people over to his house, and he's filming this thing, and it's very awkward, and he wants this guy to make lots of edits and adjustments on the fly, like, oh, we're going to cut over here to my refreshments, and we'll have a plate here, and then somebody comes in, and it's a big celebrity, John Hamm comes in, but it's it was Keenan standing in for John Hamm.
Oh.
And he's like, oh, no, I'll shake hands with you. And then he's like, oh, and I'm going to wink at the camera, but I can't physically wink, so I'm just going to blink, and then we'll just edit it so that it looks like I'm just closing one eye.
Oh, wait, no, I do remember.
And then they ran this again, like a few minutes later in the show, with all the edits he was talking about. And obviously somebody at SNL was editing this on the fly,
and they actually
had John Hamm in there. But like when they, it's like a very clumsy split screen thing where it's just John Hamm's images, and when they shake hands, you still see it's Kenan Thompson's hand,
right? Okay,
shaking hands with Zach Galifianakis.
Okay, I remember. Yeah, I always like that when like they do one sketch and then they do another sketch that references the last sketch. Mm-hmm. Like it's like, oh, it's like a nice little
so,
callback.
Yeah, so he basically did like a 2-3 minute sketch that was basically set up for this other sketch, and that, I mean, that's amazing. And they literally would have to edit that on the fly, like during the commercial break.
Yeah, that's insane.
Or they probably had like a commercial break and one other sketch in between. But that's amazing. Ooh. I remember another time when Zach Galifianakis hosted, and then for the Good Nights, he's shaved his hair down to a mohawk, and he says, like, okay, so we're just not doing the Mr. T sketch then?
Oh, that's right.
And he actually shaved his head down to a Mr. T style
I
mohawk
remember that.
On Mandika. Just for that gag.
He
the
shaved
Good Nights.
He shaved his head for like a sketch. Not a sketch, but like a joke.
Yeah.
For like
a joke in the Good Nights. And SNL actually put up video of him like shaving his head for that, like during the commercial break, because he's doing it in a rush.
That's commitment.
That is incredible commitment to a bit. I mean, and that's like Zach Galifianakis, very, you know, very brave comic, very.
Yeah.
I mean, he does stuff that you won't see from anybody else. He's one of a kind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, I remember his, I mean, I've seen his stand up, The Life in the Purple Onion.
Yeah.
I really dug that one. And, I go all the way back. If you remember, do you remember when he had like a talk show on VH1?
I know of that talk show. I don't think I was watching it, but yeah, I've heard of it.
I forget the name of it. But it was like,
I think it was Late Night with Zach or something like that.
Yeah, but he had like, if you could still find clips of it online and stuff. But it was like in the early 2000s, like 2000, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, he had this talk show on VH1, and he was trying to do all these different things with it, but I don't think it never really took off. He had like, I remember he had like Benfold 5 on an episode, or Cake, or maybe both.
He was kind of like toiling away in obscurity then.
Yeah, very much so. Like he had this unknown actor on it named Bradley Cooper when he was on Alias, and they did like a sort of a...
I had no idea they knew each other before The Hangover. That's funny.
Yeah, yeah. That you can definitely see online. It's like,
look that up.
You see Alias era Bradley Cooper and Zach Galifianakis without a beard.
Right.
Like, on a talk show.
That's great. I mean, because, like, one of the things Zach does on Funny or Die is that his talk show Between Two Ferns.
Yes, yes.
And I don't know if you've watched much of that, but, like, one of my favorite episodes of that is where Bradley Cooper comes on. And wow. And it's a very incompetent talk show. Like, they put Bradley Cooper's name up on the screen, but it's spelled as Brad Lee Cooper.
Yeah, they do that a lot with all the people. They like all anybody interviewed, like they always misspell their name.
And the two of them like get into a fist fight by the end of it.
Yeah,
and a great running gag is in Between Two Ferns was like his ferns are like slowly dying throughout the dog show, and they're just like completely dead by the Bradley Cooper. And they just had a little tag at the end where Bradley Cooper just goes, "What are your fucking ferns, man?" And then they start fighting again.
And it just cuts to the theme song.
Yeah. And it's very, like, you know, basic access cable.
Very much so.
Funny, funny stuff. Obama came onto that.
Yeah, that was insane.
When they first released the Affordable Care Act. I mean, Obama came on there to promote it.
I don't know how he gets these people on, but yeah, it was pretty incredible.
that's incredible.
Yeah.
But Zach Galifianakis, I'd love to see him come back. He hasn't hosted for a few years.
Yeah, he needs to come back.
But I want to see that.
But the show, so I just looked up, it's called Late World with Zach.
Okay.
It came on during the spring of 2002, lasted one season, 36 episodes. That was
wow.
Very, it's, I don't even know if you can find it on DVD anywhere, but like if you can find it on the interwebs, it's...
It's got to be floating around out there somewhere.
Yeah, it was definitely before its time.
Yeah, I had no idea that he and Bradley Cooper knew each other before The Hangover. I mean, I know those guys are tight because, like, I remember Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms both made a cameo on one of Zach Galifianakis' SNL episodes. So,
oh, that's right.
So obviously they're pals in real life.
Yeah.
So
now you know the rest of the story.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So that's all I really had. I had a few inconsiderations. Like, I wish I kind of looked up, did more research about some of these, but some of the other comics that I've hosted, you know, of course, Kumail Nanjiani. Rosie O'Donnell hosted years ago. I did see one sketch where
Roseanne is hosted. Amy Schumer.
Oh, Roseanne Barr. We should have mentioned that too.
I didn't think of her until just now, honestly, because I mean, I think she hosted like back in the 90s sometime when Roseanne the show was really big.
Right. I remember her doing a sketch with Linda Richmond. It was her and Madonna.
And that was the one the Barbara Streisand made a surprise cameo on.
Yes, the coffee talk one. No big whoop.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Who else hosted? Steve Martin.
Would have felt really stupid if we released this episode and we didn't mention Steve Martin once.
We got to put in a Steve Martin. He's almost a cast member, but not quite.
He was huge as a stand-up in the late 70s.
Like Kevin Hart big.
He was like, you know, the wild and crazy guy, him in the white suit with the arrow through his head.
Yeah.
I mean, he
was selling out stadiums.
He was the guy. He was the man. And he was on the show so much that lot of people think that he was a cast member. But he's still one of the people who's hosted most frequently. Like it's well over a dozen.
More than Paul Simon?
Probably. I'd have to look it up, but
okay, well, we'll get on that. But yeah, I mean, he's the Fenstruck brothers, Theodoric of York. Mm-hmm. He has reoccurring characters, but he's not a
King
cast
Tut.
Member. King Tut. Yeah.
Got a condo made of stone.
He's my favorite honky. Condo made of stone. I mean, if you look at it, you could say it's problematic now, but back then I thought it was hilarious just because he said.
What, King Tut is?
Yeah, I don't know. They could say it's cultural appropriation or something. Yeah, if you want to nip it.
That seems like a stretch to me, honestly.
I just thought it was thought it was funny because he said married to a donkey. He's my favorite donkey.
Yeah.
I was like, that's hilarious.
You know, from what I understand, a lot of the things in that song, not necessarily accurate about King Tut.
Wait, he didn't marry a donkey?
I don't think so.
Wow. I go to SNL for all my historic.
I don't think King Tut was technically a honky.
Huh. I don't know what that explains my low SAT scores. Well,
yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know, if you had Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin in your corner, that wouldn't have been matter.
Topical.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, Steve Martin, of course. And who else? Dane Cook hosted.
Dane Cook was really big.
Oh, Robin Williams, of course.
Oh, Mr. Happy.
Bernie Mac. Kevin Hart.
Bernie Mac, I've forgotten.
Bernie Mac host, yeah. Wow. Yeah, yeah. Kevin Hart, Tiffany Haddish.
Tiffany Haddish? That was only a year or two ago.
Yeah, that was very, very recent. Jon Stewart. What else did I write?
Jon Stewart?
He says he hosted. Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
I don't
Tracy
remember
Morgan
that at
hosted,
all.
Of course. He came back.
Right.
Sam Kinison hosted at one point. Rodney? Rodney Dangerfield hosted? I got to look more
that was
that.
Like back in the 70s, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely. Gary Shandling, Sarah Silverman, and apparently Damon Wayans came back and hosted, like, which shocked me because
after he was fired from the show.
Yeah, because like I did see there was a sketch where I think it was like in the 90s, like when SNL was on the downslide, because he did a sketch where he reprised his Men on Film character, but he did it with Roger Ebert. Chris Farley as Roger Ebert. I swear it's out there.
Wow, this sounds bizarre.
It was. I swear I saw it online and then like it triggered your memory. It's like, oh, yeah, I kind of remember that. I've
forgotten that existed. Oh, my God.
Yeah, for those that don't know, there was on In Living Color this thing called Men on Film where Damon Wayans and David Alan Greer play two flamboyantly homosexual men, you know, reviewing movies. And, like, if you look at it now, it's pretty offensive. But, like, he reprised it. Thank you. He reprised that character, but it was him in his flamingly homosexual character with Roger Ebert played by Chris Farley. And
that sounds so weird. I want to see it now.
Well, we may have to, but yeah, it was, I remember it being kind of like a odd sketch, but it was like, all right. And it's weird. Cause I'm surprised that he came back to host it after the big blow up when he was on and he got fired in a huge way, but I guess Time,
much everything is forgiven.
I guess time heals old.
Unless you're Martin Lawrence or Andrew Dice Clay,
yes.
I guess.
Unless you're talking about women washing their ass, then you can't pick up going. Women need to wash their ass. Like, why? Wow.
It's a weird hill to die on. I'll just say that.
This needs to be heard. People need to know that women need to wash their ass. Why is no one backing me up on this? Everybody's slowly backing away. Why aren't you saying anything, man?
I'm like mentally starting my car right now. I'm like halfway driving home right now. I'll tell you. I'll be real.
Okay. And that's our show.
Anyone else? We covered pretty much everybody? I think we've at least mentioned most everybody in passing.
Yeah. I think we got everybody. Yeah, sure.
You know, this would have been easier if we could have had some BuzzFeed lists to work off
right.
of. But no.
No, BuzzFeed has to do the top 10 whatever you have.
Yeah.
The top 10 kombuchas to drink while, you know, in your gentrified neighborhood rooftop parties.
That's right, BuzzFeed. We're calling you out.
That's right. Don't add us. No, or you can't add us.
You can go ahead. Let's get a feud going with BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
That'll probably be good publicity for us.
I could use some followers.
Sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'm like just on the verge of 700 followers on Twitter now.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Guys, let's
just on the verge.
Let's pump that up.
It's like 696, I think. Let me see. 697. Look at that.
You got the SNL nerds bump.
I guess, sort of. Yeah, I've picked up maybe about 40 or 50 followers since we started this. So
we'll take credit for that.
Okay.
All right. So you know,
at Trumbull Comic on Twitter.
Yeah.
Give me a follow.
Plug your stuff.
And
if you want to follow me, Instagram, Twitter, at Darin Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible.
That's right. And you can follow the show Twitter account at SNL Nerds Show.
Yeah, please
and,
do.
And we're over 100 followers on that. We want to bump that up.
That's right.
We want to get that up and competitive with our individual.
Yeah, bump it up.
That's right.
That's right. We're trying to be the king of the hill over here.
Yeah, bump it up until you can feel it.
Yes, feel it. Come on.
Pump it up. Like, you don't really mean it. I'm just going into Elvis Costello now.
Are you freestyling? Oh, you're doing Pump It. I see.
I'm doing Pump It Up. Yeah.
I thought you were doing like...
I still have Elvis Costello on the brain from last week. So.
He's a talent.
I love that man. I could change... You say the word. I will change this into an Elvis Costello podcast like that, man.
Oh, my God.
Like that.
So you're going to just... Like, we'll just talk about an album and just dissect that song.
Sure.
That song.
I could do that.
All right. Well,
I could do that. I can talk about Elvis for an hour each week. I can do that easily.
I don't know if I could.
I'll teach you. I'll teach you what you need to know.
Well, accidents will happen.
See what you did there. What else should we mention? We should please give us a review on iTunes and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
The 5 stars. We like the 5-star reviews.
Patreon. Donate to the Patreon.
You can find that on non-productive.com.
Yeah. And we'll be back with a new episode, Sandra Oh and Tame Impala.
That's right.
Hosting. See, I remembered.
They announced that so long ago, I was honestly forgetting about that. But that's going to be on March the 30th.
Yeah, and they put out the other new episodes coming out in April, too.
Yes, who do we have?
Next one after that is Kit Harington.
Okay, yeah, from Game of Thrones.
From Game of Thrones, and musical guest... Sarah Bareilles.
All right. Cool.
And after that, I'm looking forward to Emma Stone. I think Emma Stone.
Enjoy Emma Stone hosting. She hasn't hosted for a few years, I think.
Been a minute. This will be her fourth time hosting. So.
Really?
Yeah. She's getting close to that 5-timer.
All right. Go Emma Stone.
So as long as she doesn't do anything Louis C.K., she will get to that 5-timer club.
Yeah, okay.
And the musical guest is BTS. Who I've never heard of
until... They are a boy band.
Yes.
I did a little research on... They're a K-pop band, aren't
K-pop
they?
K-pop boy band.
Yeah.
And apparently they are huge. I didn't know it. I told my wife. She's like, oh yeah, BTS, they're huge. I was like, all right, they are?
And men in their 40s are not supposed to know about the K-pop boy bands.
I got it.
It would be weird if we did.
Yeah. I got out of the boy band business after Menudo.
After the Monkees, I punched out.
Wow.
You know, not even the New Kids on the Block. Because by the time the New Kids came around, I was like 16, 17. I was not about the New Kids.
So you went through that step by step. Step one, we can have lots of fun. Step two, why are you looking at me? You don't know that song? You know Step by Step. Step by
Really.
Step. Ooh, baby.
Is that a New Kid song? Is that legit? Okay.
Gonna get to you, girl. Step by step.
I got nothing.
Okay.
I got nothing.
All right, fine. Sorry. Leave me just hanging out there in the lurch.
I'm sorry. I said I didn't really pay attention to them.
Sorry.
You know, no judgment on you.
Sorry. All right.
I mean, you enjoy your New Kids?
Just another Pleasant Valley Sunday with you.
Yeah. See, that one I know. That one I know.
Written by Carole King.
Mm-hmm. Yes, named right. After a street in New Jersey.
Yes.
See? Pleasant Valley Way.
Yeah. West Orange.
Mm-hmm.
And it all comes back to Jersey.
Not far from where Big Rich from New Jersey used to live.
Ooh, shout out to Big Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And Kevin Joseph Garifo.
Mm-hmm.
Friends of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think that's it. I think
we've exhausted this topic. We're running on fumes at this point.
I believe we're petering out, as the kids say.
We are.
All right. So but
we'll be back next week. All
yes.
Nice and refreshed. So we'll see you. I guess in April. Will this
yes.
next episode hit in April? The show's on the 30th, and then how many days in March? Is it 30 or 31?
Half September.
April, June, and November. All the rest have 30, 31. Okay.
March,
so our next episode will be dropping
lots of fun
on April Fool's Day.
Ooh.
So,
Nice.
Okay.
Okay. I don't have a joke for that. I'm sorry.
No.
I'm sorry. I should be prepared.
Again, petering out. But
okay.
All right.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.